My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship this morning here at the First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. Those of you who are here with us in person, those of you who are joining us by Zoom, maybe you're joining us on YouTube reruns several days from now. Whenever you are here, we are glad that you are joining us in worship today. Today's service does include the sacrament of Holy Communion. I hope that you received your little communion elements when you came through. If you are on Zoom, we hope that you will join us with bread and appropriate fruit of the vine for your situation. As always, masks and social distancing are not required, but they are respected. And we respect those who want to wear masks, those who prefer to keep their distance from the rest of us. That is quite good and appropriate. You saw the announcements, I hope, as they were scrolling by on the screen earlier. Just a reminder, we now have friendship pads in the pews. Now, coming back from 2 years of not doing this, you want to do a soft rollout. You don't want to do everything at once. So I see them here in the front at any rate. I hope you will find the friendship pads in your pews. Pass them back and forth. Look, who is that person who always sits there whose name I can never quite remember? You know, that's what it's there for. So we hope that you will use that. This last, Friday or today sometime. Anyway, the latest issue of The Focus, the monthly newsletter, came out. If we have your email address, it came to your email. If you put it in your trash without realizing what it was, we do have some hard copies here out in the narthex. If you're visiting, I hope you will pick one up as well. Lots of good information. Lots of interesting material. It's really nice to be at a church that is active and vibrant and doing things. It's one of the things I enjoy about being here. There's always something happening, and that is a good feeling for a pastor to be in a church like that. If you are applying for a scholarship, today's the day. Do not come in tomorrow and say, well, nobody told me. No, today is the day. Get that in today. Adult Sunday school recycling after worship, which is a good thing. The Raise the Roof campaign, we have a long ways to go with coming close to that amount. So please, as God has blessed you, we ask your generosity as well. Why are we here this morning? You hear me sometimes, I think I said this last week, that the season of Easter, the great 50 days between Easter Sunday and Pentecost, I like to call the so what season of the church. Okay, Christ is risen from the dead, so what? What does that mean to me? How does that change the way I live? And I don't mean to preach two sermons this morning, but I think this is relevant, so bear with me just a moment. Several years ago, I was driving somewhere late at night, I don't remember where, and God help me, I was listening to one of those call in and unburden your heart talk shows on the radio with somebody who doesn't have a clue about life, gives you advice on how to live your life, you know, those types of programs. Well, this time, somebody called in, a young man called in, and said that he had recently gotten married, that how wonderful it was to be married. The problem was that spending time with his wife was taking away from spending time with his friends playing video games. And this really upset him. This really annoyed him. You know, he had these friends. He has to play video games with them. His wife wants him to spend time with her. Why? And the people on the radio reacted about the way I just did. Has nobody ever explained to you that when you get married, things change? You know, that suddenly there's this other person who is the single most important human relationship on earth now that you have, and that everything you do in some way or another has to take this person into account. And that may mean less time with your friends with video games. Why does worship attendance always drop so much after Christmas and Easter? I think it's because a lot of people don't realize that being in a relationship with Jesus changes everything. They say, okay, Jesus was raised from the dead. I got that. They go on. But when we are in relation with Jesus, it changes everything. It is now the single most important relationship we have. And so we spend these great 50 days thinking about how do we live in relationship with Jesus? What does it mean to be in a relationship with Jesus? How does that change my life? How does my life change now that I've entered into this relationship? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Friends, let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Now we begin the call to worship. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Blessing and honor and glory and might be to our God forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
God of things made utterly new, as we gather here in the name of the risen Christ, uplift us with his continuing Easter joy.
And deeper into that universe of the Spirit, where delight and praise flow more freely than air we breathe, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Jesus calls us out of the tumult of our lives, but restlessly, day by day, his sweet voice boundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden star, from eternity.
Risen from the dead, Jesus Christ longs for us to know life in all its fullness, offering us renewal and refreshment, hope and forgiveness. Let us trust in the promise of Easter as we make our confession. Generous God, in Jesus you have shown us love. Love that seeks, love that suffers, love that survives all things. You call us, even command us, to show that love in our lives. Yet we turn away from what you would have us do. We confess that the ways we love and aren't our ways. We deny and ignore, hurt and hate, despise and reject. Have mercy on us. Help us to receive your love so that we can love others.
The resurrection of Jesus shows us that the grace of God is stronger than death and that the love of God has no boundary. Believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. As free and forgiven children of God, let us share God's peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please take a moment to greet those who are around you using the ancient formula, the peace of Christ, and also with you.
Glory to God, whose goodness shines on you, and to the Son, whose grace has pardoned me, and to the Spirit, whose love has set me free, as it was in the beginning, is now. World without end, without end, amen. World without end, without end, amen. World without end, without end, amen. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
Our Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. And from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus called Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he answered, "Here I am." "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is the Son of God.
Well, you know, we would empty this out once in a while. It wouldn't be so crowded in here. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. If you will remember, I believe it was last week, I said I think the easiest way to think about John is to think of it as poetry. That is, metaphor, wordplay, allusions. If you remember, I had that line from Emily Dickinson that we all had to read in high school, tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success and circuit lies, meaning don't just come right out and say something and make it easy for everybody, hint at it and give people room to think about it for themselves. So here we have from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1 through verse 19. Jesus has appeared after his resurrection. He has appeared to the disciples. After these things, that is, Jesus' previous appearance with the disciples, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. My beloved, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And now I would invite the youngest of our disciples to join us here at the front. I believe Miss Jennifer has a word or two for us now.
Well, I'd like our friends to come forward. And I had some friends who helped me bring. We brought something else with us today, not just Jesus, but we brought a sheep. Yeah. So have you ever had mom or dad tell you something one time and you kind of listened? And then they told you again a second time and you thought, yeah, okay. And then they told you the third time and you knew you better be listening, right? Well, that's kind of what happened in our story. First, Jesus talks to Peter and he says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Did Jesus have sheep that walked around with him too? He didn't, did he? Wonder what he was talking about. And then he said it a second time. Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do that. And then Peter said, yes, I will. I do. And I will. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about sheep. Although at the time, in the place and the time where Jesus was, sheep were pretty important. And everybody knew about sheep and they knew about shepherds. They knew that shepherds were caring and loving for their sheep. They showed them where to go. They took care of them. They made sure they had everything they need. They wanted the best for their sheep and they loved them. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, take care of my people. Take care of my people. And he said, there are hungry people all over our world today who are hungry for food, but also hungry for the love that Jesus can give us. And so Jesus was asking Peter and asking us, take care of my sheep. Take care of people. Do those things that show my love to other people. Tell other people about the love and hope that I give to them. And there are lots of places in the Bible that talk about sheep and shepherds, and there is something inside this room that also reminds us of it. Does anybody see it? What do you think? Yep, go ahead. Yep, there's Jesus right there in our stained glass windows. And you know what? Sometimes I think of myself as that little lamb that Jesus is holding. Some days I have days when I'm sad or tired or I just really need a hug. Anybody ever feel like that? And that's when I kind of think of myself as that lamb. And sometimes I might be the lamb over on the side that's, all right, show me where to go, Jesus. I'm ready. I'm following you. And then there's sometimes that there's some other sheep back there that just don't know where Jesus is, maybe. And that's what our job is, to go tell those sheep about God, about the love that Jesus has for us. And so I like that window a lot because that reminds me of this story and some of the other stories as well. Helps me to remember that I've got work to do too, and I need to listen to Jesus. Like Peter was told three times. Well, if we talk about this story enough, we're told lots and lots and lots of times, aren't we? Yeah. Well, let's take a little moment and let's help us to remember this story and the words that Jesus has said to us. Let's take a moment to pray. Loving and gracious God, we ask that you would help us to help your people, help them know about your love, help them know about your word, Help them know about all the stories that you have that tell us more about you and more about how we need to be in the world. We ask that you would help us to help everyone that we meet this week and help us to remember the love that you give to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, children, for being a part of this today. I want us to do something, okay? I want you to just sort of play along with me for just a minute. I want us to all breathe together. Okay, we're going to breathe in, and then we're going to breathe out, all right? Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. In, out. Okay, we got that down, right? We know how to do that. We're pretty good at this. Breathing is normal. We know how to do this. Now, what I would like us to do is to breathe in and then hold your breath. Hold your breath until you can't hold your breath anymore, or until I say it's okay to breathe again. Are you ready? Okay. Breathe in. Y'all were breathing, weren't you? Yes, you were breathing. You were breathing, guys. I'm sure you were. It feels okay for a moment, doesn't it? But to hold our breath indefinitely pretty soon gets painful, right? We all know how to breathe. Breathing isn't hard. It's something we do all the time. But holding our breath indefinitely, now that is difficult. I want you to just put that in the back of your mind for just a minute, okay? Hang on to that. Don't forget it. I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. Now, Paul is on his way to Damascus, and he is bound and determined that he is going to persecute the followers of Jesus. And nothing is going to stop him except Jesus. Jesus sort of stops him in his tracks, if you will. And then Paul spends 3 days without sight and without food or drink. What does that make you think of? 3 days, darkness. Neither food nor drink. That makes you think of something, right? Yeah, it's supposed to. Okay. Ananias shows up. They talk. They pray. Scales fall from Paul's eyes. He gets up. He is baptized. And then he gets something to eat. And then what does Paul do? Does he hang around the house? Does he practice meditation? Does he spend his time avidly studying Torah? No. Paul goes to the synagogue and loudly proclaims to anyone who will listen that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus and Peter are walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says to him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Peter replies 3 times, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And each time Jesus says something along the lines of, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, watch out for the flock. Be the good and gentle shepherd who leads the flock to the green pastures. Now, as we've just heard, Jesus didn't have a flock over there off stage somewhere, right? This is a figure of speech. There's that poetry thing. Miss Jennifer brought it out for us. It's people. Peter is supposed to tend to people. Jesus isn't talking about sheep. He's talking about people. And not only that, he's not just talking to Peter, is he? Because he's talking to us. He's talking to all of those who call Jesus their Lord and Savior. All of those who have come face to face with the risen Jesus, who recognize his leadership. We are to care for others. We are to be the shepherd, tending to those sheep. In our Old Testament lesson, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord God, has fallen upon the servant of the Lord. And why is the Spirit of God fallen on the servant of the Lord? So that the servant can bask in a warm glow? So that she can smile enigmatically to herself and think warm thoughts, in order that he can tuck that memory down deep in his heart and periodically pull it out like a fond memory of days gone by? No, that's not what we're told, are we? The Spirit of the Lord God is appointed on me, has anointed me, so that I may bring good news, to bind up, to proclaim, to release, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn, to give them goodness, to display the Lord God's glory. That is why the Spirit of God rests upon the servant. This is what we do, isn't it? We who have come face to face with Jesus, we who have recognized Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, we who have felt the Spirit of God fall upon us, we are to tend others. We are to bring good news to the world. It is something that we cannot keep inside of ourselves. We have to let it out. It's like breathing. We can't just breathe it in. We have to also breathe it out. Think, if you will, of the blood flowing through your body, right? Your blood circulates through the body. The heart pumps the blood into the lungs. The lungs oxygenate the blood. The blood then flows through all the body, taking all that rich oxygen. And when the blood is depleted of oxygen, what happens? The heart again pumps the blood into the lungs. The blood is reoxygenated. The heart pumps the blood back out, and the cycle begins again. In, out. In, out. This is worship. This is worship, isn't it? In worship, we come and are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are reminded of how much God loves us. We are once again brought face to face with the living Jesus through the proclamation, through the sacraments, through the singing of hymns and the prayers. We are enriched in our souls with the goodness of God. And then the worship service pushes us back out. The worship service pushes us out into the mission field of the world around us. And there we tend to God's children. But after a few days of tending, after a few days of sharing the goodness of God's love, after a few days of bringing the good news of release to those who are being held captive by their past mistakes or by the evils of the world, after spending time comforting those who are in mourning, whether for themselves or for others or for humanity generally, we are depleted. And we come back to worship. And in worship, we are again filled with the goodness of God. And we are again pushed out of worship into the world. This is what we as Christians do, isn't it? This is how we as Christians live. We are filled with the goodness of God, and we cannot keep it to ourselves any more than we can hold our breath forever. We have to let it out. And then we come back in and are filled with it again. In, out. In, out. My friends, may we do it well. Amen. In the sacrament of communion, by coming together as God's children, as our Father Calvin taught us, we are lifted up into the heavenly realms, where we feast with God and all the saints on the goodness of God's love. We are strengthened. We receive the nutrition that we need, if you will, in order to go out and carry God's goodness out into the world. And so I remind us again, one of those things you can never quite say enough, that this table is for all of us, that Jesus himself has invited us to this table. And this table belongs not to me, not to this church, not to our denomination, but this table belongs to all of us. And so I invite you to join me now, either following along with the words on the screen or the words on the insert in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Well, let us lift up our hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, for you made us, and before us you made the world we inhabit, and before the world you made the eternal home in which through Christ we have a place. We praise you, O God, whom eternity cannot contain, for coming to earth and entering time in Jesus. We praise you for his life, which informs our living, for his compassion, which changes our hearts, for his clear speaking, which contradicts our harmless generalities, for his disturbing presence, his innocent suffering, his fearless dying, his rising to life, breathing forgiveness, and restoring us forever to you. For these gifts we praise and worship you. All that is spectacular, all that is plain, have their origin in you. All that is lovely, all who are loving, point to you as their fulfillment. Therefore, we gladly join our voices to the song of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the Gospels, we read how Jesus was always the guest at the tables of the wealthy, pleading the case of the poor. He was always the guest, upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger. He was always the guest. Here at this table, Jesus himself is our host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who sat at our tables, is inviting us to be guests at His. And so we remember that on the night in which He was betrayed into the hands of those who would try to destroy Him, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim, melech haolam, matzi lekamen haaretz. Blessed art Thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who causes bread to rise from the ground. Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And again, after the supper, He took the cup, gave thanks. He poured it out and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me." So now we do as Jesus did. We set aside this bread and this cup, knowing as often as we do so, we proclaim the death of our risen Lord until He comes again. My friends, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these Your gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, and that we may be His body for the world. By Your Spirit, unite us with Christ and one another until we feast with Him and all Your saints in Your eternal realm of justice and peace. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are Yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Boldly, yet with humility, we raise to You the concerns of our hearts. Lord God, we lift up the fighting, especially in Ukraine, but we know that there are many other troubled places in the world. We lift up, Lord, the people who are hungry in the community around us, who are not sure where their next meal is coming from. But we know that there are many hungry and food insecure people around the world. We ask Your blessings on those that we know whose jobs are debilitating, whose jobs are life destroying, who are perhaps unemployed. But we know there are many such more around the world. Lord, we lift up for You those whom are now on our hearts. We ask Your continued blessings on Gary and Pete and Bonnie, on Arnold, Gibb, and Pat. We pray that You would watch over Chastity and Joan, Jerry and Mary. In Your loving kindness be with Ruth, Jesse, Silas, and Jane. And Lord God, especially this week, we ask Your blessings on the family of our brother Roy, as they continue on in their journey through the valley of the shadow of darkness. We pray all this in the name of the One who taught us how to live, when He taught us how to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is the body of Christ broken for you. Eat all of it. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Drink all of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Amen. Friend, we come to a time of receiving tithes and offerings. What is it to be in relation with Jesus? What is it to be one who tends the sheep? It is to live the same kind of generosity that Jesus lived, the same kind of life-giving, loving generosity that Jesus lived. Friends, may our offering reflect our appreciation and our understanding of how much God loves us. Let us receive our tithes and offerings. I invite you to join me, if you will, in our offertory prayer. Let us pray. May the gifts we offer this day, kind God, bring joy to those whose mornings are hopeless, feed those whose noontimes are filled with hunger, and bring peace to those whose nights are surrounded by fears and worries. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday school, faith formation, immediately following fellowship time, lots of good things. This is a great church to be. I hope you are embracing the ministry opportunities here. And I hope now that you will embrace the ministry opportunities out in the world. That just like breathing in and breathing out, you will go forth from this place to circulate the blood, the oxygen that the world needs. And friends, as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God this day and every day grant you God's own holy peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen.
May you run and not be weary. May your heart be filled with song. And may the love of God continue to give you hope and keep you